As I mentioned, my name's Daryl Coates, and Tanya was kind enough to ask me to preach for her today. And as I mentioned also, I'm an interim pastor. Most of the congregations that I serve are churches that are in conflict. And so my ministry is a peacemaking ministry. And Barbara, I think you're going to like today's message. I have a feeling that you will like today's message. But my ministry is a peacemaking ministry. Most of the churches I serve are in deep conflict. And so what I try to do when I go in is I try to help share the peace of Christ, to bring people together and to build bridges and to break down walls. And as you know, ministries like that are greatly needed today. I don't have to tell you that. If you read the news, if you watch TV, you know how divided we are as a nation. So today's message is near and dear to my heart. It's the promise of peace. But before I share it with you, let's join together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't have to tell you probably that everywhere we look today, we seem to find warfare, bloodshed, and conflict. We see a major war continuing between Russia and Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands of lives have already been lost, and millions more have been displaced from their homes and are living in exile. We also know that there's a civil war going on Sudan, on the continent of Africa. 16,000 Americans are in Sudan, many of them desperately trying to get out. And I just heard yesterday that the first American has been killed there. But hundreds of lives have been lost there. We know the possibility of a war between China and Taiwan, a war that could threaten to bring in the United States. And of course, if you've kept up with the news at all in the last few months, you know that there is the threat of thermal nuclear war between Russia and the West. Vladimir Putin several times has made those threats that if he's pushed too far, he won't hesitate to push the button. And then closer to home, our nation is badly divided between red and blue states, between Republicans and Democrats, between conservatives and progressives. And you know, we have culture wars, not only in the halls of Congress, but also in our state legislators, the legislatures, and then the civil government, as well as on our school boards and even in our churches. And to make matters even worse, our nation is being torn apart by the almost daily occurrence of mass shootings. There have been over 160 mass shootings so far this year. And I think we probably know that gun deaths is the number one cause of the deaths of children today. That's abysmal, isn't it? It's hard to believe. But we don't feel safe anymore. We don't feel safe because we've seen these shootings in so many places. We've seen it at airports. We've seen it in banks, businesses, grocery stores, shopping malls, schools, theaters, and yes, even churches. We don't feel safe anymore, do we? How we long for peace. Peace, what a powerful word, charged with universal longing for harmony on earth. It challenges the mind and imagination. It's a universal longing. You know, we talk about making peace between friends and relatives. We try to make peace by arbitrating disputes. We even try to arbitrate disputes between nations, such as North and South Korea. Human beings have longed for peace since Cain killed Abel. It's a universal longing, isn't it? You know, the theologian Augustine once wrote centuries ago, "Peace is so great that even in this earthly and mortal life, there's no word we hear with such pleasure, nothing we desire with such zest or find to be more thoroughly gratifying. Folks, this morning I want to make three brief points about peace. And I know I have limited time to preach, so the good news is I don't go very long, all right? But there should be a bulletin insert in your bulletin for your convenience. I invite you to take it out. Fill in the blanks. If nothing else, it'll keep you awake during the sermon. But fill it out. Consider what God is saying to us today and this week about the peace that Jesus Christ offers and how we can live at peace as peacemakers in a divided world. So are you ready? Well, let's begin with the first point. And go ahead and change the slide, Dave, to our first point. First of all, peace seems elusive. Peace seems elusive. Now, while the desire for world peace may be great, the opportunities for realizing world peace seem more remote than ever, don't they? Despite our so-called scientific and technological progress, we are no closer to peace today than we've ever been. You know, we'd like to think that we've advanced morally and spiritually, that somehow we have outgrown the notion of war. But you know, while the external world may have changed dramatically, the world within the human heart remains ever the same, tinged by pride, greed, and lust, the seeds of war. In fact, in some ways, we haven't advanced one bit. Let me give you an example. On the soil of the battle-scarred hills of northern France, there are places thick with the fragments of steel shells which have deeply penetrated those hills. Today's the great guns are silent. You can take a shovel and you can dig in those hills. As you dig there, you'll find lying side by side the flint fist hatchet, one of the earliest weapons of people, next to the jagged fragments of modern explosive steel shells. There they lie as you dig them up side by side, the flint fist hatchet and the steel shell fragment. And the whole sweep of human history lies between them. A story of at least several hundred thousand years of human endeavor leading us age by age from one to the other, from primitive to highly refined methods of destruction. Folks, how long will it be before the weapons, primitive or modern, will be beaten into plowshares? Well, you know, the good news this morning is in our text, Isaiah promises that a time is coming in which there will be no more war, a time in which nation will not rise against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. How we long to live up to the promise of peace. But how? Where do we begin? Well, that brings us to the second point I want to make about peace this morning. Second, peace must begin with us. Peace must begin with us. You see, that's the place where we must begin. Peace must start with us. Several years ago, a book was written by Evan S. Connell. Evan S. Connell called Son of the Morning Star, which is probably the most scholarly and complete account of Custer and the Little Bighorn. It was a New York Times bestseller, and Time magazine hailed this book as a new American classic. Now, Connell's book actually covers the whole history of the Indian Wars in the West, a scope necessary to get the complete picture of what climax Custer and those Native American tribes on the dusty hills of South Central Montana on June the 25th, 1876. It's a sorry chapter in American history. A period of unbelievable savagery when both white and red people reached the darkest depths of bestiality. It's hard to imagine that such savagery happened on our soil almost 150 years ago, but folks, it did. It did. Now, the author of that book raises a pertinent question. Listen very carefully. Why was Canada able to settle its western frontier without all the warfare and bloodshed we experienced? His conclusion is that there was a fundamental difference in approach to their native peoples. You see, in Canada, the attitude was treat the Indian honestly, and there should be no problem. Now, what a novel approach. What a novel approach. The American approach was that it was up to the Indian to decide whether there would be warfare. If they behaved themselves in a civilized way, like us, there would be peace. Otherwise, the only good Indian was a dead Indian. That's the source of our problem. Folks, as long as peace is left up to the other person, it'll never come about. We have to take the peace initiative. We must begin with ourselves when it comes to peace. Now, what am I talking about here? Well, what I'm talking about, you know, we see deep divisions in our country. Somebody has to take the first step to bridge those differences. That means that we have to listen to other people when we may not agree with them. We may not like their politics. We may not like their theology or their ideology, but it means that we listen to them. We listen and try to understand what they're saying. Doesn't mean we agree with them, but it means we try to understand what they're saying. And we listen with empathy. We listen to their feelings and what they're feeling. We try to feel what they feel. We're called to build bridges of mutual understanding and respect. And that's not easy to do when we disagree with people, is it? But that's what we're called to do as peacemakers. That's what we have to do. And you know, the same is true in our nation. If we're to get past all the divisions and polarization in this country, we have to take the peace initiative. Peace has to begin with us. It has to begin with us. That brings us to the third and final point, and perhaps the most important point of all. Third and finally, peace comes from surrendering our will to Christ's will. Peace comes from surrendering our will to Christ's will. You know, the Hebrew word that's used most frequently in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, is the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. Now, in our minds, the word peace connotes the cessation of hostilities or the absence of war. When we think of peace, we tend to think of the opposite of war, when there's no fighting. But you know, in the Bible, the word peace, shalom, means so much more. It means completeness, soundness, wholeness, welfare, salvation. Let me repeat that. Shalom means completeness, soundness, wholeness, welfare, salvation. You see, that's the kind of peace that the Bible speaks of. And in its biblical sense, peace is that state of well-being or wholeness that comes as a gift from God. It's not something that we arrive at or create ourselves, but it must begin with us. It must begin with our receiving it in our hearts. We can never become instruments of God's peace and wholeness for the world unless we receive this peace and wholeness firsthand within our lives. You see, we don't draw from an empty well. The source for our peace must come from our ultimate source, Jesus Christ, who's the Prince of Peace. Mother Teresa expressed this thought well. How many of you remember Mother Teresa? Sure you do. You know, in 1979, when she received the Nobel Peace Prize, she spoke these words. And I want you to listen very carefully to what she said. She said that we do not need bombs and guns. We need love and compassion. We who are gathered here must know that peace is learned so as to give it to others. Let us learn that unless we are full of God, we cannot give that love. We cannot give that peace to others. Unless we are full of God, we cannot give that love. We cannot give that peace to others. You see, when we allow Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to take first place in our lives, Then we begin to experience true peace, God's wonderful gift of shalom. And you know, even more importantly, we're empowered to share that peace with others in the world by working for its realization. You know, the Bible calls us to be the peacemakers. And it is us, not them, whom Isaiah says will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In just a couple of moments, we're going to be singing our closing hymn, which is one of my favorite hymns, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Now, I know that you've sung this hymn many times. You probably even know the words. But let me ask you something. How often do we think about those lyrics? How often do we internalize its message? So what I want to do is I want to close this morning with the lyrics from that hymn. And when we sing it in just a couple of moments, I want us to think about what we're singing. The words go something like this. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be, with God our Creator. Children, all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. May we truly live by those words this morning as we look forward to the coming of the Prince of Peace, who first entered this world to the tune of peace on earth, goodwill toward all. Well, in conclusion, peace begins with us when we surrender our will to the will of Christ. Peace begins with us when we surrender our will to the will of Christ. Whoever has the ears to hear, let that one hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak. the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.